Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of the Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
I've been working on a new spiel for the opening.
It's fresh open.
Fresh open. We're what, 20, 25 steps are in the can. Is this episode 26?
I think so.
That doesn't sound right. I think this is like 24.
Okay.
I think it's 24.
Let's stop everything we're doing and make sure.
Is this the new open?
Is this the
is
bit?
This it?
This is the spiel? This is it. I'm making it
we
up as I go.
We argue about what episode number
no,
it
I
is.
No, I want to know for sure. And I can't find out.
Is it 24 or is it 25?
Let's see. Release schedule. I'm going into our work calendar here. It's not listed.
I'm betting
there it is. 24. It's 24.
Yes.
And this episode we're recording comes out in 2 days, which is awful for Francis.
Sorry, Francis.
Again, this isn't the spiel, but I want to, I just want to mix it up.
Why can't it be the spiel? Apologizing to Francis?
Right. I'll have to listen back to this and turn it into a script, but I don't have this memorized. I'm going to try this out. See how it feels.
Are
okay.
You speaking in draft, as it were?
Okay. I don't know that term, but yes. Yeah, I'm speaking in draft. But I have to, I want to make sure I nail this. So I've got it here. Pretend I didn't say anything.
Okay.
Hey, welcome back to the Glass Cannon Podcast. For the next hour or so, we're going to hang out, roll some dice, laugh a ton, mostly at each other, and play some Shadow Dark. That's the first part.
Okay.
Oh, there's more.
Yep.
Okay.
Factually correct.
Yeah, it's already long, but I'm going to keep going.
Okay.
Sometimes we follow the rules. Sometimes we forget the rules. Sometimes we don't give a shit about the rules. And sometimes it gets messy and chaotic and we leave it all in because this isn't a performance. This is actual play. That's it.
Oh, there you go.
I like it.
Pretty good.
It's a little long. It's a little long, but I feel like it captures everything that we do.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's long. It's long.
Maybe you could throw in.
It hasn't been edited
cut
yet.
Cut out every third word.
Okay.
That would shorten it.
Welcome to Glass Cannon.
Yeah. Podcast. Take out all the. Take out all the.
For the next or so.
Welcome to Glass Cannon.
Welcome to Glass Cannon.
So much time saved.
That's not bad.
Yeah, take out all the us and thes. Yeah. And I think that would help. Yeah,
I feel like we don't need to apologize for messing up the rules because you know what?
Was I apologizing? Everyone I think I was just making it clear.
Everyone messes up the rules.
I know that. You know that. But it's important to say like, you know, some people I think they think they're getting it wrong. It's bad. And we're like, no, this is purposeful. We don't give a shit. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. So I think it's good to kind of make that differentiated value clear right up front.
Do you think you should cuss right at the top?
I thought about that too. I had an F in there, an F word.
I'm worried.
And it's not the F word you thought.
I don't know what the other one is.
What was the other movie? I'm worried that listeners will be scared immediately because you cuss so soon.
But you know what? It also sets you up for what this show is. We say fuck, poop, damn, all the time.
Crap.
Even heck.
Crap.
Even heck.
Even heck.
Mm-hmm. Maybe
heck only when it's like yeah. you really right. need.
We got to be really fired up to say heck.
Shart.
Shart, yes, that has been uttered.
Poopy butt and stuff like that.
Yep, poopy butt.
You don't hold back.
Combine the two.
Yeah.
You say that, put that, we don't hold back, say that.
We don't hold back. That's good too.
We don't hold
back. This is going to get
we don't hold back, poopy butts.
We don't hold our poopy butts back. Well, I'll work on it.
Crap.
Crap.
Crap. But I think, yeah, it's just like, we swear.
Mm-hmm.
We're a little.
We're like, yeah.
We're the Andrew Dice Clay of actual
players. Yes, with dice, with real dice.
With real dice. Hey! And that's what you do.
I know.
I think that summed it all up.
Yeah. Right.
In a much shorter version. Yeah.
We're the Andrew Dice Clay
of actual real dice. Play.
Yeah.
Of actual play.
And it rhymes.
Andrew Dice Clay of actual play. And then we just see dice flying across the table. And that's the whole show.
Natural 20 right now.
But also it's important to set up. This show is about an hour. And that's intentional. We want to just get in, get out. Giant Slayer used to be an hour with the band. Sometimes it'd only be 40 minutes of show.
Yeah.
Right. I miss that.
They do know. They should be able to see that on their podcast application.
Wait, again, you say 40 minutes of show. The band is the show.
Dude, you're preaching to the choir.
That's part of the show.
I understand
that's part of the experience.
This is the show.
Can we literally do this for an hour?
That's the show.
That's true. Our cold opens are the show. The band is, it's all the show.
That's the show, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets messy.
Should we like put a clown horn in so they like kind of know we're silly?
That's fun.
Yeah, like you say poop and crap and then it's like, honk, honk.
Or welcome to the Glass Cannon podcast.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Air horn.
That would get tired, but you know what?
I think even that can be cut down. Just the car horn, the car horn, poopy butt, Andrew Dice Clay, actual play, done.
Don't even say the name of the network or the show.
Definitely don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Just poopy butt, Andrew Dice Clay, credits.
Yeah.
And maybe if you're feeling spicy, a second honk honk at the end.
Yeah.
Second honk honk. I'm going to take all of this in. We'll take a quick break and I'll work on a new one.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
I want to thank Pocket Hose for once again sponsoring the GCP. Pocket Hose is back. I'm so psyched because I'm using my Pocket Hose regularly. For those that don't know, it is the world's number one expandable hose. It expands when you use it. It contracts when you don't. Easy to put away. Easy to store in a small space. And as spring has sprung here, it's been awesome to use for the lawn as we get the garden started. My wife loves it. I love it. And that spigot thing, the pocket pivot, it's called, is just phenomenal. Rotates 360 degrees, keeps the water flowing. It's awesome. But the reason we're here today, the new sponsorship is all about a new product they're releasing called Pocket Hose Ballistic. The Pocket Hose Ballistic. How much do you love that name? It is reinforced with a liquid crystal polymer fiber that is used in bulletproof vests. Thus the name Pocket Hose Ballistic. It makes an anti-burst sleeve that is practically bulletproof, and it's actually 5 times stronger than steel. If you get it, now, with our deal that I'll tell you in a second, it comes with that pocket pivot, which gives you total freedom of movement at the spigot with the water, you know, still flowing, enhanced with an upgraded UV coating so that the hose looks new year over year, and re-engineered thicker washers that resist leaks. I hate the leaks that come out on your hand with a lot of these hoses, so these reinforced thicker washers, very much looking forward to that. Pocket Hose carries over 100 patents worldwide, and now, for a limited time, when you purchase a new Pocket Hose Ballistic, you'll get a free 360-degree rotating pocket pivot and a free thumb drive nozzle. Just text GCN to 64,000. That's GCN to 64,000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. Text GCN to 64,000. Message and data rates apply.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Ox Venture and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
Hey, we're back. I forgot to mention all the important things that you need to do if you enjoy this show. One, subscribe to us on youtube.com/theglasscannon. Boop. That's all it takes. We're almost at 70,000 subscribers.
One click.
You know, at 100,000, they give you a little plaque that will just go on our shelf back there.
We get the silver one, or that's the silver one, right?
I think it's the silver. Yeah. 100,000 though. It's within reach.
Sure I'm subscribed.
That would be nice, because we're damn close. By the time of this airing.
Oh, it's we hit it.
Did we already hit it?
We hit it.
Oh, wait. Great.
Oh, we did.
70K.
Wow, we're cooking. You know, all right. You know, always, next stop, 75.
You know, always current on our subscriber count is my nephew. He always, as I ask him, he's like, what's our exact subscriber
count? And he just tells you.
It is like 69.
Wow.
Or like
wow.
He always knows.
He's way into that. Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. We'll just text him next time. Why even take a second to look on YouTube? We can just text your nephew.
Yeah,
just text
I knew
him
we were so close that I wanted to check and see if in the interim we had.
Well, I looked a couple days ago. Right. It was like 69. I got excited, made a couple jokes to myself. Yeah, but no,
you went nice.
Let's just stay here.
Everybody, stop subscribing.
Everybody, stop. We want to be at 69. 69.
Well, would you? But I'd be okay with 690,000.
That's the next goal. That's the next goal.
Yeah. That's way better.
69 million.
69.
6.9 million.
And then there we go.
6.9 million, also fun.
That's
also
reasonable
and funny.
Funny. So subscribe. See what you can do. All these jokes we can make if we get to those landmark milestones. Also follow us on Instagram at The Glass Cannon. And I want you to rate and review this show and download it, especially on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Really, really helps. And, you know, it sounds so annoying to say this every week, but every week we get more reviews. So it works. So keep doing it. Thank you. And then the last thing, arguably the most important, if you're enjoying this and you want to see more content, you want to support the creators that you love, you want us to create more shows, and also just support the ones that we're already doing, subscribe today at jointhenaish.com. We're back on Patreon. Check it out. Man, I'm already burnt out.
Our review of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Five-star review of the week.
Five-star recap from the Caps.
This comes to us from MT_Graves. Okay. MT as in Montana. Mm-hmm. I know that because the title is Montana Approves.
Oh, the entire state.
This is the text of the review. Yes, that's right. All of Montana approves.
Wow.
That's a good review.
I know it is a state with a pretty low population, but I didn't realize it was just one person.
We don't have to go into the details. The whole state approves.
Thank you, Montana.
I believe them.
The big sky country.
Yeah.
Big sky.
I was supposed to go to Montana as like a family trip right before COVID, and then we had to cancel.
Why?
Oh.
I just felt like it wasn't a good time to fly.
Oh,
why? What happened?
Or go anywhere?
Why?
I wasn't really. It was frowned upon.
Maybe 20 years ago. I spent a summer in Kalispell, Montana, and it was awful.
Oh,
I drove.
But I love Montana.
I drove from Portland to Montana to go camping, but we timed it poorly, and we went in the fall, and it was too late in the fall, and we missed the perfect prime time. Got there right when a blizzard hit. And we were like, I think we could still do it. I think we should still go. And every person we met in Montana was like, don't go. And we were like, why? And they were like, it's bear season. And we were like, oh, how bad is that? They were like, you're going to a camping area called Bear Canyon. Don't go. And they had this whole thing about bear spray and how it like doesn't really work, and bear bells like don't really work. It was very enlightening. We did not go.
Okay.
The bears can smell the menstruation.
Yes.
Also Anchorman 1 or 2.
The bears could smell the menstruation.
Anchorman 1.
Anchorman 1. Thank you. I wanted to make sure it was Montana. But yeah, Bozeman is supposed to be really fucking cool.
I want to go so bad.
I drove through Montana during a panicky drive from Seattle to New York during Sandy? Oh. No, not Sandy.
Irene. Katrina?
I was in Seattle during Irene. All the flights got canceled and I had to get back to work. And we drove across the country in like 3 days to get back.
Oh.
And drove through Montana and was astounded at how beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
You can see why they wanted to go up there and that book.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Lonesome Dove.
Yeah. That drive back was so amazing. Idaho and Montana and then, you know, all those, the Dakotas. And it was so gorgeous and so beautiful. And when you got past Chicago and got into like Indiana and Ohio, I was like, this
sucks.
Country sucks. And I was like, I am mad at my immigrant relatives right now.
That they stopped like,
got Comic to Philly Prince. And we're like, this is good.
Yep.
This is good.
Don't need to go any further.
Yeah. It's like, come on, couldn't somebody just get out a little further? Oh my God, the traffic gets so intense. Yeah. There's nothing to see.
There's nothing.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's all just like, ugh, it's gross.
That Ohio nothingness is wild.
Ugh.
You guys are ignoring the corn. There's all that corn.
I know, it's just so boring. It's so boring.
Yeah, unless you're way into corn. Now, that was back when you could actually drive, of course.
Yes.
And now you cannot.
Now I cannot. My surgeon was like, for the audience, I'm slung up right now. I had shoulder surgery and I'm in a sling. I'm one-armed for the foreseeable future. And
you sound like you're going to cry.
It was very upsetting.
Does it sound like he's going to cry?
It does.
It was very upsetting.
You can hear his voice cracking.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like, man, being one-armed is tough.
Yeah.
And
it's okay. You can let your emotions out here. Like, this is a safe place.
The surgeon was like, you can't drive. And I was like,
65. Then he made a joke out of it.
Yeah. 55. And then I just got sad about it because I hadn't realized it. And then he was like, but I mean, people drive with one hand all the time. Like, gave me a wink.
Gave me a wink.
And I was like, all right. I guess that was a little subtle, surgeon approved, but don't put it on the record.
You can still reach everything you need to reach with the right hand.
Yeah.
You drive a stick shift, right?
No. Yeah. So I'm in rough shape.
Yeah,
I'm in rough shape.
You think the surgeon was just trying to get you to come in for another surgery after you get into a car accident?
Right. No,
he's like,
I guess I don't know. I guess he's just
he just wanted to be the cool surgeon.
Yeah, exactly.
Wanted to be the cool surgeon.
He's put like, on some sunglasses and rolled out of there.
You can drive.
Oh, speaking of which, you know what the sling is nice for?
Got a little
storage area.
A little snack?
My sunglasses.
Oh.
Maybe some goldfish in there, some snacks for later.
How do you have snacks? That would be my
first
choice.
That's such a good idea. Popcorn.
Yeah.
Nice cold
Get
beer.
Get me through the app. Yeah, I'm not even a week out of surgery, so I am, forgive me if I'm a little out of it.
Oh, wild. Dude. And this was major surgery. It was initially not going to be major. And
initially
then they
wasn't
going to
be major. Then they got in there and they were like, oh man, your shoulder's really fucked up. And so it was 10 anchors, 360 degree re-stabilization of the joint and 5 hour procedure. It was supposed to be 2 hours. And I woke up and I was so like out of it because I had been on anesthesia so much longer than I've ever been before. And I was just lost. I was like, what time is it? Like nobody was in the hospital. It was the surgery center. I was the last appointment of the day at 12:30 p.m. And I didn't get in until about 2, but I woke up at 8 and I was like, what happened?
Did you know it immediately like, oh, I'm here to get my shoulder done?
Yeah. I knew all that. I just was like, why is it so dark out? Like I expected to leave at like 4, you know, what happened? They're like, well, it was a lot worse than we anticipated. And
the wife's remarried.
And you, she decided to move on.
The war's over.
The war's over.
Wait, but important question. How long did it take you to pee after all the anesthesia?
Oh my God. Yeah, it was a long time, man. But they were hustling me out. Like a lot of times, like when I've had surgery before, they're like, well, you know, you take your time and when you're ready, we'll walk you over to the bathroom, make sure that you can pee before you leave, right?
Gotta pee.
And there were just like two nurses that were like past the time they were supposed to leave. The surgeon was already gone, like from the hospital. And they were just standing there, you know, just like, we want to try to pee? Why don't we just do it?
You want some more water?
Yeah,
you want to get some more water?
Hey, give him a cracker. Let's go. And I was like, I just got to be able to walk out of here, right? And they were like, no, we'll put you in a wheelchair. We'll wheel you right to your car. You ready?
And you didn't get the post-anesthesia pee out.
I did okay. Go in and get the post-anesthesia pee, but it was not one of those like chill. I was literally, it's like being the last table in the restaurant. The
last call.
And everybody's just standing over the side looking at you. Yeah, exactly.
Let's go.
They're all turning up all the chairs. Like, that's what it looked
they
like.
They turned your room's lights off and they just stood there in the dark waiting.
I was so out of it. You guys were on stage in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And then still high on pain medication, you started messing with the Google Drive.
And updating the website. Do you have no recollection of that?
No, I went to the website and
high as a kite. You just started changing shit.
Music went out.
The music went out on stage. We're like, what the fuck happened? And McD told us, like, oh, because you were in there, like, fucking with the files.
Reorganizing the files.
I was like, why did Aaron let him anywhere near a computer? Wow.
Whoops. I'm sorry, I have no recollection of those events. I can neither confirm or deny.
Would it be weird if they put you in the wheelchair and you go outside and there's just like flying cars and shit?
They should do that. I'm telling you, it could have happened.
Image of President Logan Paul giving an address.
President Logan Paul.
Threw up in my mouth.
The content creator? Every time I have gotten surgery before, I don't know about you guys, but every time I've gotten it before, I have every memory of going into the room where I'm having surgery.
Yeah.
And then lay down, oxygen, they put the stuff in the IV, you know, all that stuff. With this one, there was one step prior, which was they gave me a shot in my neck, a nerve block that completely numbed my arm for a full 24 hours.
To immobilize it?
To immobilize and for pain. So that for 24 hours, I couldn't feel pain. Like, it wouldn't matter. And then when it started to come back, they give you painkillers for that. So he was like, I'm going to give you a little bit of medicine in your IV right now, just to make it easier on the nerve block. A little bit of medicine. Okay. Puts a little bit of medicine in. And I don't feel anything. I'm like, okay, I turn away. I feel the knees. A little pinch. Feel the needle. I feel like my fingers are getting like a little bit numb. This is pre-op. This is not in the surgery area. This is like in the pre-op area. The anesthesiologist is just giving me a needle for a nerve block. And I cannot remember anything after that.
Whoa.
I remember the needle. And I remember like, you know, and then it was 8:30 at night. 6 hours had passed.
Whoa.
And I don't remember ever getting rolled into the, and he didn't give me the anesthesia. Like he was like, this is just a little, you know, sedative medication to help you deal with the needle. And I'm like, okay. And I didn't feel anything. Woke up, throat hurting, completely out of whack. Like no idea what's going on.
Glasses
changing
off.
Files on Google Drive.
Penis burns from the catheter.
Yeah, exactly. So I had I had lost memory of like before I actually got anesthesia.
Oh, so crazy.
Hate it.
I don't like it.
I love it. I fucking love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Best night of sleep you'll ever get.
Yeah.
Troy and I had the same surgery, and I had a hernia surgery, and it took me, I had a cool anesthesiologist. Like, you had a cool surgeon. He was like, I'll slip you a little bit of the good stuff. And I don't remember anything after that. But then it took me hours to pee. They called the surgeon. He prescribed saline. I mean, the nurses kept pumping me full of water. Finally, I peed. I went home, and then I peed every 20 minutes for the rest of the night. It was awful.
Yeah. It's brutal. Long road to recovery ahead, but I'm excited. I'm excited to not have my shoulder pop out on stage again.
That'll be great.
That's positive.
Yeah.
Well, we should probably dive into a little Shadow Dark. Do you feel like you want to do the recap, maybe to get your recap muscles back working?
Recap is...
Those have atrophied.
Try.
I also should thank our sponsors.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Norse Foundry, as Matthew is pointing to remind me to this image of Norse Foundry, which is now upside down, and Foundry Virtual Tabletop, who we jump back into with some map action.
Going to be using a lot of Foundry VTT today. Oh.
Matt back.
Who needs caps?
I'm good on caps.
You need a cap? Oh, sorry. Jeepers.
I'm going to roll right back to you.
You're good on caps.
Joe, can you hand me that cap?
Not funny. When we were setting up for the show, I knocked down like no less than 5 things. Just knocked things off the desk. Knocked my water over once.
Knocked your Star Wars cards on the floor.
He said, Joe, do you need a little help? He went, no!
I got it. I'll learn to do this. All right. Recap. Forgive me. We were in town and saw the yet another horrific murder. basically, of a person that had a magical book in their place. And just for having the book, they were carted away and we assumed burned at the stake. We were like, we definitely have to get out of town. And so we have escaped Marin's hold and gone to see if there's any way we could hole up in this ancient haunted castle. Getting to the castle, we notice that it seems to be a castle of knights, like an order of knights of St. Taragnus. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah.
They're like a holy order of knights, basically, that used to hold this castle. And we saw one major thing I remember is seeing a statue that had been desecrated.
Mm-hmm.
And there seemed to be a vibe. It was a statue of a woman. I guess St. Taragnus is a woman.
Which I didn't know.
I think I remembered seeing the pronoun she in the book. But so it was a statue of St. Taragnus that was desecrated. And it seemed to be intentional to make it look like a man,
mm-hmm.
to make the statue look like a man. And then we saw a jewel. I don't know if it was in that statue or another statue, but there was a ruby that was that apparently some other crawlers tried to extract. And it's a cursed ruby, we discovered, and it turned them to stone. So there were these stone crawlers in the place. And the very last thing I'm a little fuzzy on. So let me run it by you and then you tell me
what I'm
missing. The last thing is we were in a room and there was like a document. There was like a scroll or something. There were communications back and forth from this center to other castles, right? Other dukes and aristocracy in the area just communicating about threats or political things or whatever. We get into this room and we see that one of the communications is about a rising appearances of demons in the gloaming. And somebody suspects that it might have something to do with a dwarven city underground. They saw these gates underground.
Which we saw.
Which we believe we saw, because it said north of the lake, mm-hmm. which is where we were. And they said they believe that someone was digging deep down below and may have unearthed something, some evil. And where I get unclear is there was notes in the marginalia. And it said, yes. Perhaps Sir Yidris.
Yeah, I fear something has awakened in the deepest parts of the world. Perhaps this validates Sir Yidris's theory. I fear he is wrong.
Right. Now, here's my confusion. Mm-hmm. That sentence contradicts itself. So were those two different people? Like, did it say, I think this validates... Like, why would you say, I think this validates Sir Yidris's theory? I think he's wrong.
The writer is worth, like, perhaps this information validates Sir Yidris's theory. I fear that he is wrong.
But I think he's wrong.
Right. Like, the writer is disagreeing with the information found.
But why would he write, perhaps this validates?
Maybe it does, Sir Yidris. But I think it doesn't.
I see what you're saying.
It seems like you're on the right track here. This idea is like perhaps this new information validates whatever Sir Yidris has been talking about. I hope it doesn't.
That's a very different sentence than saying he is wrong.
Mm.
Saying I hope he's wrong.
Yeah.
So here's the only thing.
I'm purposely playing an unreliable narrator to make you think
about
it.
What does the letter say? That we don't have to be unreliable about, do we?
It says, to the High Council of the Green Knights. So you now established that this was the stronghold of the Green Knights. Patrols along the northern shores of Lake Fenimir report growing disturbances beneath the earth. The men claim to hear sounds in the deep rock. At first, they thought they stumbled upon a quarry because the noises were that of hammering or mining. Yet the sounds continued through the night long after any honest labor should have ceased. Our scouts ventured deeper and discovered ancient gates broken open from within. The craftsmanship was unparalleled, dwarves, obviously, so no mark of any known clan could be found upon the stone. The tunnels were filled with heat and the smell of sulfur. The men refused to go any further. I fear something has awakened in the deepest parts of the world. The notes say, perhaps this validates Sir Yidris's theory. I fear he is wrong. It is strange.
So if it validates Sir Yidris's theory, I fear he is wrong. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
What is his theory?
Wouldn't you hope he is wrong?
If his theory agrees that these gates were broken open and there's something horrible awakened
in the depths,
Perhaps this validates Sir Yidris' theory. So Sir Yidris agrees with what the letter says. I fear he is wrong. So he is fearful. He thinks it's worse than what's happening because it seems pretty bad. Yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying.
I have a note to myself that I need to finish focusing on and detect magic on a statue. Was there a small statue in the room?
A small statue of St. Taragnus, to which you earned 1 XP upon finding.
So I detected magic on it, and it was magical, I believe. And I was working, and this is, I believe we corrected this last time, but I had been mistakenly not continuing to focus on thinking I'm rolling my spell check again, my spellcasting check. So I would like to keep doing that once we get into real time again.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Did you like out of combat initiative, or are you interested in maybe playing a little looser with it?
Playing a little looser.
Playing a little
looser. The looks on your faces are looser. Okay.
I think we could do it better, but I think doing it looser is the easier.
I also think it might be intended more for tables where people are more reticent to kind of get involved, to keep everyone sort of like
engaged.
Yeah. Whereas none of us ever shut up.
We can't.
And we and we talk over each other.
Right.
Maybe we should do it.
No, I agree. I agree exactly with what everyone's saying.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Let's go to the map.
Turn on the torch.
Turn on the torch.
Let Joe do it. He needs to learn how to do it with one hand.
Figure it out.
Oh my. You guys are being
so wrong
mean.
Way.
No, you did
That's
it wrong.
Right. It's the other way. You point it toward Troy.
Yeah, it was towards.
You pull dip it, up it toward. Troy, toward Troy.
The torch is running.
Okay. There's not a lot of time left on that torch.
It's running.
It's running. Which is actually the light spell, right?
Yeah, yes.
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 Let's all right, so it is.
So I'm going to continue focusing on the statue of St. Taragnus.
Okay, roll detect magic.
I will do that. And I just get it.
Okay, this obsidian statuette appears to be non-magical.
Oh, okay, great. No, I thought I had already rolled. All right, whatever. Not magical.
Okay. If I told you it was magical, I lied.
Okay, great.
Fire! Sometimes this gets messy, just like I said in the intro.
Sometimes it's messy.
okay, great.
What does this mean? I don't understand it.
It seems to contradict itself.
Are they saying something broke out from the depths? Does it say the gates were broken from within? Did you say that?
Yes. The ancient gates broken open from within.
From within, so. I mean, are they saying something broke out from there? Killed the diggers and broke out? We didn't hear any digging when we were down there. If those were the gates, but those gates weren't broken, right?
They were broken open.
They were?
Yeah.
When we saw them?
Yeah.
And also, the whole countryside is afflicted with demonic and otherworldly influence. Can I search the room and or the desk for secret doors, secret compartments?
Yep. And you don't see anything.
Okay, great. All right. Now,
look at the old desk, yellowed papers. Yeah, this it seems like this really establishes that these were the Green Knights. These were protectors of the realm, perhaps. But now this place is empty.
You're at Meyer Castle.
Meyer Castle.
Looking at the map here, we've kind of explored all our way down this way. Is this a hallway that extends to the west?
It keeps extending. What is the extent of your light? I've just kind of arbitrarily given
it's
you.
It's 30 feet.
30 bright?
Yeah.
Okay. And who has it?
Me.
Pharaoh.
What's Pharaoh. And we have a second.
Seeker has it.
Yeah.
As well.
Seeker has it. Okay.
But we only have one torch timer.
That's right.
Yeah, we're going to have them ride along with each other for now.
Yeah, I'm getting nervous, like looking at the hourglass.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, it looks like it extends along the hallway there. You went down to the southern room where you saw a bunch of statues and what seemed like a cursed statue, petrified bodies, and a very sweet looking ruby that maybe might be enough to level up, but you're like not playing that game.
Yeah. Plenty of evidence it would not have been worth it.
Yes. Yeah. There's no point in being a level 3 stone guy.
But what
look at the level of that statue.
Perhaps these scavengers were not pure of heart. And only the pure of heart can remove the ruby.
Don't fall for his tricks.
We'll wait on that one.
I think it's worth trying.
Warwick is going to take that scroll, that missive, that memo. And he's going to roll it up and keep it.
Very gingerly. Fold it.
Yeah. Is that the kind of thing like I could put in my backpack and have it not take up a slot?
Yeah, I would say that's slotless.
Okay.
So should we head down to the west?
Small enough yes. to be slotless. Okay.
Yes, head to the west. Yeah.
And scroll. Saint will, as we're walking, continue to check for traps.
Hey, just hold there 1 second.
Okay.
Right. Back up, back I'll up, move back, back 15 feet. Yeah.
Back up, back up. I jump. I jumped.
Back up, back up.
I grab the wall.
I dive behind Warren.
Okay. You guys want to play some Shadow Dark? Let's play some Shadow Dark.
I do want to play some Shadow
Dark. I do too. I was like, I like to play some Shadow Dark today.
Yeah.
I've been like all holed up for days, like not even leaving my house.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Okay. You guys don't notice anything.
I'm checking for traps.
Checking for traps.
I don't notice anything.
Nope, no traps. You see a door to the north and another one further along the hall to the south. And that's all you see from the extent of that light.
Saint will take another step forward and kind of gesture to the north or south to the group.
Okay.
Which way?
Your choice. Go.
Saint will move along the wall towards the door to the north.
Saint, be careful.
He turns around. What?
Be careful.
I am. I'm always. And he will move towards the door and will check it for traps.
Okay. As you move towards the door and more light sources enter this space, you see that there is another door to the north. And then at the end of the hallway, a door going further west. You listen at this door and don't hear anything.
Okay. He will carefully open the door.
Ka-dunk. What a room. Here, obviously that light.
Parquet floor.
Yeah, parquet floor.
It's the old Boston Garden?
It's the old garden. Larry Bird's hanging out in there. No, you open the door and obviously there's not a lot of light spilling in, but this looks like a bedroom. Another humble, humbly appointed bedroom, long abandoned. But the stench of death hangs heavy in this room. Oh. And lying on the bed, you see an armored knight.
Whoa.
Whoa. Yeah, so Saint...
It stinks. The smell is coming from there.
Saint moves into the room, and then as soon as the light from Pharaoh comes in, like, behind him, he just stops dead in his tracks and freezes. And then he'll move to the side further away from the bed to let others in, and he puts, like, some of his cowl up to his nose.
Yeah, Ellison will cover his mouth and nose with a handkerchief.
I'm not going to. Wark doesn't cover. He's got a sword in one hand. A much dented and scratched shield of one of these knights in the other hand. And he walks up to the body.
Okay. You walk up to the body and, you know, you can't, the visor is down, so you don't know sort of what type of creature is behind there. You know, it's humanoid. But the stench is awful, and you see sort of like blackness, a little bit of skin that's showing between the
gauntlet
and the armor. The armor.
What do you call that?
But like, is this
what is mer?
Is the arm part bracer? Thank you,
thank
CJ.
You.
Oh. Thanks, Francis.
Bracers, yes. Bracers. A little bit of black skin.
Okay. He is going to... Interesting. Oh, what does the armor look like? Does it look resplendent?
It's nice. It's kind of oxidized a little bit, so it's tarnished.
When is their symbol like on
the symbol of the Green Knights?
How long roughly has this place, had we supposed this place to be abandoned?
I don't think you guys got that information, but you would think over a century.
That's abandoned what I'm saying. Like the fact that like an armored person
would still be
moldering here in a bed seems very strange.
And over a century, it would be rotted away by now.
It would be a skeleton. So
it's someone recent, you're saying. It wouldn't, yeah.
Yeah. Or there's some sort of slurring effect.
Yeah.
But you could
be cursed. You saw.
Right.
We did see footsteps. You know, we did notice that there were people more recently here within like the past few months when crawlers.
The crawlers we found presumably in the southern room.
Right. This could have been somebody else, though. I mean, we don't know.
As you're examining the body, for a moment, it looks... You almost like think it might be just a trick of the mind. It looks like it breathes for a second.
Okay.
I pictured that exact thing.
Jump back.
All right.
Like, I'm going to take my sword and I'm going to reach it out and take the sword point like to the visor. It's kind of like gently and try to just like flip up the visor.
Work extends his sword to the visor, pops it open, and for a moment you see that same what appears to be black skin over where a face would be until a giant leech comes out of the visor, followed by a second one. Roll for initiative.
We need like a horror hit in the music. That's just like, get a good jump scare going.
All right, I've put the leeches on the map here. Let's initiate
this
up.
This has to move. So move the hourglass to, can you reach that? To between you and Skid.
This looks like a mid-combat torch.
Yeah,
oh no!
He's shaking it. So he's trying to make it go down faster.
We better make quick work of this.
All right, let me just take an hour to find my deck. All right, I have my initiative, and
I got a natural 20.
Okay.
Okay. I got a 2.
7.
Well, I haven't adjusted it, but 15. Natural 2.
Okay, and I got an 11.
Okay,
great.
Best case scenario.
So, it's been so long. Remind me how the timer works now.
So that's your position.
Oh, that's the best possible situation.
This is in this is the actual
in this
initiative.
Yeah. Okay.
Like right. we used to play.
I'm not going to say anything.
You were wondering if it should have shifted directly to me as opposed to...
No, I think technically the hourglass was in your position, so should it have been between Skid and Sydney?
Oh,
No, I think this is good. I think this is
great. Yeah. I like this better with the bow initiative roll.
No, but you are right. It should be between Skid and I once. And then
Right.
Because it's your position.
Very little time.
So it really should have been on me, not between you and I.
Correct.
Oh, I thought it was always the person behind it. Smart. So it was your turn.
But
Troy,
Troy is the timer.
It's like Troy doesn't exist.
I see what you're saying.
It's not nice to say.
Sands through the hourglass.
Right, so we'll out this time.
The torch is gone. Let's go.
Well, actually, let's really figure this out.
So
really dig into this timer thing.
He sees the leeches. He's going to step back behind Warwick, and he's going to attempt to cast protection. Well, I don't know if this will work on him. He's going to cast protection from evil on him. Try to cast protection from evil
on Warwick.
On Warwick.
Oh, amazing! Come on.
And he's successful.
Nice.
Ooh, a little protection from evil. And again, talk us through what that does.
Chaotic beings will have disadvantage on attack rolls and hostile spellcasting checks against you. You also cannot be possessed, compelled, or beguiled.
Awesome. Don't try to beguile me, leech. Just
beguile me, leech. Awesome. Okay, so Sydney Saint.
Okay, Saint will
Saint Sydney
draw his short bow because you can see now these leeches, right? They've crawled out.
Yeah, they've slithered
darkness.
Out.
And
the light goes out.
Oh, the light goes out.
Oh my God.
I told you to shut up.
That's crazy.
Oh no.
So he goes to pull out his short bow and then suddenly he can't fucking see anything. Because the light spell goes out. I'm still going to take the shot because I was kind of calling that action. So it would be with disadvantage, yes. Yeah. Okay.
Oh my man. God.
That stinks.
That stinks out loud. Speaking of poopy butt.
So 15 was my worst roll.
15 was your worst.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right, so that still hits.
Okay. So that is going to be...
Total darkness.
And hold on. Would you... Do you think that the creature was unaware because it went dark and then I fired?
No, I'm going to say that they are adjusted to the dark.
That's all right. That's fair.
All monsters are adjusted to the dark.
I have backstab, guys. I got to try to use it. You know what I'm saying?
Yup. Always be pitching.
Always be pitching. 2 points of damage.
2 points. And that was the one on the left, yes?
Let's say yes.
Okay. 2 points of damage. Man, it's so great. The Shadow Dark module for Foundry has the entire bestiary within there. So I don't
plop it in.
Look shit up. Yep. Okay. Awesome. Hey, in darkness, getting a hit like that is clutch. What do you got there, Captain Kaza?
I think I better light a torch.
Okay.
This is something I discovered when we were playing at our Nashville retreat, is that somebody had, there's a great Reddit thread on the Shadow Dark subreddit that somebody had house ruled. It is a normal wisdom or dex check to light a torch in combat. But if you're in total darkness, it's wisdom or a wisdom, a hard check, 15, DC 15. Mm. And Kelsey basically confirmed it. Basically, like, this is written as.
Oh, awesome. Look at you doing your homework.
I'm going to attempt a dexterity check to
DC 15.
DC 15.
Jeez.
To light a torch.
He's dexterous wizard.
In total darkness.
Wow. Right. Wow.
I think a fumble here, you light yourself on fire.
Definitely.
Yep.
Because that's how fire works.
Right.
That's
how it is.
Becomes engulfed in flames.
Engulfed in flames.
How did I do this?
That's a fail. Do I want to turn the bottle cap on this? It's a hard check. I will turn the bottle cap.
Okay. All right. Man, how terrifying.
Again, this is not with disadvantage. It's just a hard DC.
It's just a hard check. Yeah.
It's a hard check.
You know what's so crazy about this? It's so terrifying to have these things sucking on you in the darkness.
Yeah, I don't want, especially with your turn being next. I'm like, let's get some light in there.
So, yeah.
Brilliant.
That's a natural 19 on the reroll.
Oh, huge.
So Allison lights a torch. Turn that timer around.
There we
around.
Go.
I'll put it right here.
Bing bong.
There all right. Bing bong.
Awesome. Okay.
No.
It's going. Stop. It's going.
I want to make sure it's nice and flat. All right. We are back in the light just in time for work.
And I'm going to move also.
Okay.
I'm going to just kind of move behind this banquette to give, put a little distance between me and an object between me and the leeches.
So let me just get this straight. These giant leeches were sort of living inside this armor in the moment. They were inside the armor, and they burst free from the armor. Okay. Ugh.
One came out the visor. The other one came out like a little slit between the bracer and the gauntlet, perhaps.
My God. My geed.
My geed.
All right.
Oh, slithered out from his codpiece.
All right, Wark is going to, with the light coming back, this torchlight shining past him, throwing this leech into the shadow of this hulking warrior. Wark is going to attack. So he'll step up and try to just slice this thing in half with his silver longsword.
Okay,
here we go. There we go. Oh, how could I miss the tray? That is a 21.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Boom.
Big hit.
And I will spend a bottle cap to turn that into a crit.
Nice.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Look at you. Okay.
Good spend there. Yeah, like, I honestly, it's like, let's not let anything bad happen if we can. Like, don't wait till things are already bad.
Yep. Shortening combats is always positive for us.
Exactly. Yep. Oh, awesome. 14 points of damage.
Nice. All right, that straight up kills that.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It was a really good roll. Okay.
Awesome. All right. So with one dead, I will go ahead and roll a morale check for the other leech, who is shockingly not super wise.
Back to your codpiece.
Back to your codpiece.
And I failed.
Yeah.
So you see this leech just find a little crack in the floor and slither into it.
Yes.
And run away.
Is that our first failed morale check?
It might be.
I think it is.
Well, the orcs that you fought, when they're raging, they're immune to morale checks.
Right.
And other ones you fought, it just never quite came to that. But that's a straight up morale check fail.
Wow.
Amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Man, that was awesome. A combo of your initiative.
Yeah.
And you getting the light up.
Yeah.
Was huge.
Yeah.
Whew.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Oh, you just breathe for a second. Scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Horrible. So is there a skeleton or body in the armor,
we'll
or was it entirely?
That's what I wanted. Was it a Beetlejuice or what's his name? Boogeyman.
You look
Oogie Boogie.
You look Oogie through the visor that's open and maybe another piece and you just see bones.
So you were right. Yeah.
And these things were like feeding on it.
That stench was those creatures.
Saint would like to move a little closer to the armor. Anything nice?
If you remove the body from it. It's not a bad set of armor. I did mention that it is sort of oxidized, so it's a little, it needs some cleaning up.
Scrub it.
Yeah, I wouldn't throw it on right now, but if you brought it back into town, yeah, you could clean it up. I would say it's, I guess it would be chainmail.
Breastplate?
Yeah, breastplate. Yeah.
I mean, that's different from chainmail.
Yeah, I'm just looking at
plate.
I'm looking at the armor options here, and it's like leather armor, chainmail, plate mail, shield, mithril. It's not mithril.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's plate mail or chainmail.
Splint
makes
mail.
Sense.
Yeah. Splint mail? I'm going to go with chainmail.
Okay.
I'm not going to give XP for it, though, until it's usable. Right now, it's not really usable. You want to put it on. It's also, there's a body inside. So if you want to
scrub the rings.
I think maybe we better leave it here.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a pain in the ass
we
to carry.
We can grab it on the way out if we survive.
We can also, like, now that we're crawling a little more, maybe we establish a base of operations in this bedroom.
Could be.
Yeah.
If we can plug that hole the leech crawled out of, maybe not be the worst place.
The leech hole?
There's a nice bed here. We can sleep next to the knight.
Saint picks up the helmet. And immediately the head falls out.
Little jaw hits the floor, and the other part kind of tumbles out slowly afterwards.
Seeker.
He looks at you.
Puts it back down.
Seeker.
Yes.
Perhaps we could say a few words for the departed here.
Ah, yes, I could, unless our acolyte friend here would like to give it a go.
Oh, no, please. God favors all of her servants. Geet favors all of their servants. Whatever gender they choose, please favor us with your prayers,
all right.
Seeker.
Bow your heads if you would like. Dearest Geed, though this place does not necessarily worship you, if you were to show up here with a basket of fruit, sure they would allow you in. No, this is a place where, at least at one time or another, the great Saint Taragnus was worshipped. These green knights were holy protectors of this realm, and this knight perished doing what he or she was meant to do. Watch over him in the next life.
Thank you, Seeker.
Well said, Brother Seeker.
Saint's going to look around more. He's going to check anything, trunks or like anything in the room.
Everything's sort of disheveled and like turned over. It looks like signs of a struggle here. In fact, as you look, you see that there are some holes in the armor. Like, it's going to need to be patched up. Like this person was perhaps killed in their sleep. Or killed while napping.
Murdered, it seems like. It doesn't seem like monstrous wounds.
No,
right?
Like, obviously you wouldn't sleep in your armor, so maybe this person was just taking a gentle repose here and was brutally attacked.
Huh. Or stabbed and stumbled back to lay down and die.
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah.
Is there blood on the sheets? Is there?
There's dry blood that's now, it's just black from time.
And there's nothing in the desk, or is that perhaps makeup table over in the west?
His makeup table is empty.
Okay. Saint will take one of the bloody sheets and stuff the leech hole and just kind of step down into it and say, So, moving on then.
Secret doors, anything? Apartments?
No secret doors that you can see.
Okay. Yep.
Moving. I'm going to fire up my own light spell. I'm going to attempt to. As well. Oh God! Spend the bottle cap.
Oh no!
I don't have to roll that well to get this. I got it. Okay, so.
Okay. Now, do we reset the hourglass? How do we?
No. It's the same. It's just the second source of light.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just gonna from now on, unless something drastically changes, we'll have the new light source just ride along.
But you can like
see better.
Drop the torch or whatever if you had to.
Yeah.
Great. Still have the light.
Saint will approach the southern door then, going door by door.
Southern door.
What's the easiest place? I'll stand right behind you so I can shine the torch.
Yeah, and he'll check for traps.
Okay. No traps.
Okay. It's going to open the door.
Okay, you open the door, and it's another bedroom type situation here. Maybe a small office, but there is a bed, and a desk. I notice you enter the room, some of you. The minute you enter the room, you see this like spectral figure of some sort of holy monk or priest wearing garb that is much, much out of date. And you can hear him muttering in like a tone that is like overlapped with a thousand voices. It says, "Saint Taragnus, guide me. They mean to wipe us from this earth. I am no warrior. I must hide, though surely they will have mercy on me. They opened the gates. We are lost." And he just keeps repeating this phrase over and over again. And you see him going from like praying near the door to running towards the bed and hiding underneath it. And then a moment later, he'll appear again, say the same phrase, and like listening at the door and then running and hiding under the bed. Running and hiding under the bed.
Saint is gonna follow his path under the bed and see if there's anything there.
There is a completely, like, just a skeleton that it looks like it was torn asunder in life, and all that's left is just like a brutalized skeletal corpse.
In like monk robes, like
battered.
And you see the same thing, and in the remnants of the robes, they're just multiple stab wounds.
Oh, man. What the fuck happened here?
As we search for him, could we address the spirit? Does it seem to take note of our presence as we walk
in? It doesn't seem to note your presence. It looks like it's looking towards the hallway and it's fearing what's coming, and it goes to hide under the bed.
This is only a memory.
Echo.
Cannot speak to us. Does not know we are here.
Even as you're examining, it just keeps playing on a loop like a restless spirit.
There's this great concept in Impossible Landscapes of, they call them repeaters, and they are people that have been lost, like, to the King in Yellow, and they, whether it's their last day or last weeks or last months, they repeat them in a cycle and never remember it. They just keep doing, like, the same thing, like, and ghosts like this, they keep reliving these final moments of their life without realizing it, and it's sad and super.
Yeah, I used disturbing. To watch. I went through like a very short phase one summer when there was not a lot of TV on, where I watched Ghost Hunters a lot, because, and they would, you know, obviously everyone has their different beliefs on the validity of these things, but like they would. There would be ghosts like this that were caught in loops. And so they'd hear them talking about something, and it was clear that they were having a conversation that they had in life that was just happening over and over again. And then there were trickster ghosts that would just like knock shit over. Yeah, it's crazy. So there is some background to something like this. You see this a lot in, you know, ghost stories.
Ghostbusters talked about it. Free floating repeaters.
So the seeker says, "Could this have been the work of these demonic forces that beset Marin's Hold and seem to be a growing problem in the gloaming? Perhaps this place was overrun by these demons long ago."
Seeker, I don't understand the they. They opened the gates. They are lost. Who could that have been? Followers of St. Taragnus? I don't understand.
So they said he's saying they want to wipe us out.
Is it the demons? The demons open their own gates?
Maybe, but the demons do that sort of desecration we saw.
Unless there was some sort of cult.
I feel like they don't care enough.
What about a cult that worshipped the demons and sought to unleash them upon the world?
Or maybe it's not monsters at all. Maybe it's just enemies of their faith.
I have found
non-believers
in my travels that sometimes men are the greatest monsters of all.
Pharaoh, you're not far off. These wounds, these look like stab wounds. Not like claws or bite marks. And he's going to keep living like this till we put his bones to rest.
I'm going to pull the bones out from under the bed. Like if they're within the rope, he's just going to gently grab the rope and slide the rope out.
Gather them together. They mean to wipe us from the earth. I am no warrior. I must hide.
They mean to wipe us from the earth.
Surely they will have mercy on me. They opened the gates. We are lost. Rushes and hides. Rushes and hides.
I'm going to take the bones and I'm going to like bundle them up, sheath my sword and bring them to where the knight is laying on the bed. Mm. I'm going to bring them into that room and just like, he's
make
just
noting.
Kiss each other.
I'm a scared monk.
Mouth on his butt.
Hey, Farrah, look.
The two
he's
skulls.
Kissing his butt.
He's kissing his butt.
You bring them in there.
He brings them in there and he says, once we find out what's going on here, we'll put you to rest. And he's talking like to the two corpses that he's like, intending to bury them once we can make sure this place is at least temporarily safe.
Is there evidence of a graveyard? A burial place like in the castle, the area of the castle?
And you didn't see anything within the area of the castle, although you would assume a castle of this sort would have
something.
Yes.
Or churn or crypt.
Yeah. Crypt, maybe.
I'll search the room, taking care not to step into the monk's path. Secret doors, items, whatever.
Yeah, it looks like whoever was in this room, you find some notes that like you're worried to even touch, they might fall apart. This belonged to someone.
I'm Mandy.
And I'm Melissa, and this is Moms and Mysteries.
We're two Florida moms obsessed with true crime. From infamous cases like Ellen Greenberg to shocking Florida stories like the Dan Markell killing.
With 55 million downloads, we bring you new deep dives every Tuesday and Thursday.
Listen to Moms and Mysteries on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine, and now I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.
Goodbye, Kyle!
Did the sound of those words call to you like Pavlov's dog? Then you might enjoy our podcast, Turtle Time.
Every week, you can join me, Riley Hamilton, and my co-host, Amy Scarlatta, as we cover the most pressing Bravo news and dig into the new episodes to answer important questions like, who the hell is Adrian Malouf in this world?
Listen to Turtle Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Wednesday and Friday.
And Father Medro. And so perhaps that's who this priest was.
Okay, great. All right.
If there's a bustle in your bedroom, don't be alarmed now.
Shall we?
Keep going. Yeah.
Keep on going. As you leave the room, the spirit dissipates. It's like triggered by your presence.
People being around. Interesting.
Saint will go to the north door first and check it for traps.
No traps, no sound.
You will open the door.
All right, so this is really strange. You open it and it's just like jammed with rubble. It's like a small corridor jammed with rubble from collapsed floors above, perhaps. And you see there is like a skeletal hand coming out of the rubble. And it's charred.
Whoa. With five magical rings, one on each finger?
Yeah, one on each finger. I'll roll for each spell.
I will check. I mean, is there anything salvageable or is it just like it's all
just
rubble?
Just the arm. If you tried to clear the rubble, you might be able to see more, but you also worry about how the rubble might be supporting what's up above. It's just this, like, sad little hand.
Oh, geez.
Coming out.
And yeah, Saint kind of, as the light spills in, looks back. You should be careful.
Charred. That's interesting.
Yeah. Saint will open the door to the east.
Open the door to the east and see a very large room, which I'll reveal right after this break.
I knew the break was coming. You can just tell me, send it up.
Break. Pause the torch.
Pause the torch.
No.
We'll be right back.
And we're back. Pause the torch.
Maybe you wanted to go pee or something.
Ooh.
Can't trust you.
You could have.
I mean, the thing is, it's supposed to keep going.
Right, yeah, no technically. Yeah.
But yeah. Isn't that the idea?
That's the game.
The idea is when you go to pee, that's your fault. You're burning torch time.
You get a UTI playing Shadow Dark. That's why.
That's why. Maximize your torch timers.
You pop open this next door, and it's a long room that stretches further west. Similar to that room you saw in last week's ep, there are more statues in here. Six statues along the walls of this room, three to the north, three to the south. And they're all knights, all bearing the crest of these green knights. And they're just sort of standing sentinel over this hallway.
All right. Saint, after opening the door, again, like, freezes as the light pours in, and he sees these statues, ever wary, and he's gonna kick some of the rocks, some of the rubble, like, into the room just to check if there is any sort of, like, tripwire trap or something. So he just kicks, like, tunk, 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 tunk.
You kick a rock in there, tink, 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 and you hear the slightest little sound of metal creaking.
Would that sound familiar to him in any way, of like a trap, of like a floorboard or like a pressure or plate?
Trap door.
Yeah, I mean, you look and the statues are wearing armor. So metal. It's kind of like a museum when you go in and like this... The medieval section, like the displays of people in armor. So it's not like a stone statue like the other room. And it, you're like, ooh, that sounds like metal moving on metal, like armor creaking.
Yeah, that's what he was thinking. All right, so he will turn back and whisper, I don't think the statues are statues.
What do you mean?
Warwick, look. And he'll move out of the way of the doorway.
I'm going to take a look in,
Saint will throw another rock.
And they look like the knights.
Right.
Like, they're knight size. The armor's normal size. Mm-hmm. It's normal armor. They're not statues.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, they're standing at attention.
So hold on. Do they look like statues where the armor is itself statuary? Are they some sort of like suits of armor?
At first, you're like, oh, there's six statues. And then you look more and you're like, oh, no, it's like it's armor like put on a stand.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So there could be more leeches inside or something worse.
All right. Warwick's going to walk into the room and get closer to inspect one of these things.
I'll hold my torch in the doorway.
Gets up closer right next to it. Does it have a shield?
It does. And you get up close to it and you hear this like weird like a buzzing or an electrical. You obviously wouldn't know what electricity is, but there's this like humming.
It's lightning.
Yeah. It's not quite like lightning.
Static electricity.
There's this humming like vibrating sound that's very faint.
Coming from this. He's going to, you know what? Fuck it. He's just going to lift up a boot and just like kick over the armor. okay. stand.
As you do, the sword arm like comes down at you. So let's roll for initiative.
Whoa!
Oh, oh, okay.
See what happens? You okay. go to kick it, and it like almost like reacting to you. The arm comes down.
So the torch must move.
The torch must move to between Skid and Seed.
Yeah, Seed.
Skid in a Seed. All right, here we go.
Okay. Just a couple of good time pals here.
That's all we are. This yuckin'. Is some good time pals.
Some yucking and chucking. All right.
Work at a 12. I feel like that's a good tweener.
I got a 21.
17.
Okay. I got an 8.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. 21.
Mr. 21.
Mr. 21.
Okay. So is what am I? What is happening as I get Sigmar?
All right, so you look and you see Wark kick, and it looks like in reaction, the sword arm of this armored situation is going down at Wark.
Gonna swing it.
And I will say that other statues in the room, quote unquote statues, are beginning to animate as well.
Okay, I'm gonna try to fire off a magic missile at the statue that's hitting Wark, and can I try to aim it for the arm to like give a disadvantage on the swing or something like that?
Yeah, so. Yeah, that sounds interesting. I'm going to make you choose between damage and trying to do something cool.
I'll do something cool.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to like basically like blast the arm off so it doesn't hit Wark.
I like it. Redirect its path.
Yeah. Natty 16.
Nice.
Okay, so it comes down. Now it has a higher chance perhaps to miss wildly.
You have advantage.
I do have
advantage. So if you get that 20, it might make it even better.
I didn't get a natural 20.
Okay. All right, Wark.
All right, so yeah, he went to kick this thing over, thinking maybe there was something inside of it, like leeches. There was something, and it was just going to topple over, and whatever would pour out of it. But it seems that this thing is animating and attacking him. Very weird. So yeah, I'm going to continue through with my action. I'd like to do.
You've got the jump here, like it's still coming out. You kick it, and it's going. And you're like, what? Did I? Am I making it do that, or like, fuck? Do I need to?
Yeah.
Boot it again?
Yeah, I feel weird, honestly. Like, perhaps I'm overthinking it, but I feel weird attacking these statues if they, you know, obviously, like, even in meta, I don't know if this is, like, animated armor or if they're undead warriors or, right? And so, from a character standpoint, I'm thinking, you know, finding that body on the bed, my first thought was, like, as soon as I can get that chainmail cleaned, like, I want to wear that chainmail. He doesn't want to wear the chainmail of the orcs that we found on the road. That's what he's wearing right now. Like, he wants to wear the chainmail of the Green Knights. Like, he sees an order here, which is something he could have been a part of, and something which he's lost. He's lost this order that he was a part of.
Perhaps you could rebuild the Green Knight.
Exactly.
You've already got, it's like a video game now. You've got two pieces of the armor.
Right. Yeah. These things are making him hesitate. So rather than straight dealing damage, I would like to kind of continue with my initial action and attempt like a grit roll, like a strength roll, basically, to just knock it over.
I love it. Great.
So,
and do you get advantage on your strength rolls?
Yeah, if it's strength against an opposed force, I get advantage.
God, get the fuck out of here!
Yeah, so he's going to try to knock it down and then stand guard in front so that it can't come and attack his friend. So here we go. A strength roll with advantage. Okay, that is going to be a 20.
20. Okay. So the arm comes down to like swing at you. Ellison shoots a magic missile to kind of divert its path a little bit. Meanwhile, you just kind of push it and knock it off its pedestal. The armor hits the ground and just kind of like breaks into pieces. And inside, a giant wasp emerges.
Oh!
What the?
Amazing.
And it attempts to sting you, but I want to give some love to your magic missile. So I'm going to have it sting have a disadvantage on
great.
You.
Okay.
So it's kind of like as it's crawling out of this armor.
A little disoriented after getting hit. It's like if you get you get hit by a magic missile. In like getting hit in a helmet, like you're still okay.
Right.
You got your bell rung. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So this is interesting. Let's see. So that is going to be a 12
disadvantage.
Oh, with disadvantage. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, sorry, it's a miss anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh man, the other one was a natty 19. Woo! So yeah, good thing it had disadvantage. So the sting zoom, just goes right by you and misses, and you can see that little stinger is dripping.
No!
Let it sting you.
Now it's not my turn yet, so it goes now to Pharaoh, and then it will be me.
Talk about these sparrow bees.
Wait, so why did the wasp?
Why did it attack?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, I'll use its attack on that, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I forgot about the timer.
Yeah, I forgot about the rules.
So it's my reaction that all giant wasps
get. It also just seemed to flow. Like, we knocked the armor over, it busted right out, and attacked real fast.
All right. Pharaoh is going to move into the room and try to get a clear shot at this thing. Is this object is like
it's a column.
It's like a, okay, I thought it was a boob.
There's just some boobs on the floor.
Just an aerial on the floor.
Yeah, huge boob.
So he's gonna move
it's a 5-foot boob.
5-foot boob. And he's going to fire his crossbow at the thing. That is a 16.
Nice.
Oh, she'll do. Okay. She'll do.
Squonk.
Kind of sputtering its way out.
3 points of damage.
3 points of damage. Okay. Now, let's get down to business. The statue, again, in quotes, to the middle south kind of ambles over, and it's making that same, like, little buzzing sound within it. But right now, its movement goes to swing at Pharaoh with a sword.
Interesting.
So it's very herky-jerky, so it has disadvantage on this swing. And it misses you. And then a third one comes from the far back of the room and just kind of clung, 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 comes towards Warwick. All right, good roll to start. And then a poop roll misses on that second one. So they're just like, and you know what's inside of these things. But right now, only three of them are attacking, and it is the Seeker's turn. Oh, the Seeker. Now, nobody's been hurt. Does anyone need any healing? Saint, are you okay?
I'm fine. I need to get in there.
Saint, stay back.
No.
Did you want to...
I can't lose you.
Did you want to have tokens for these things? Did you mean to? Just because, like, so that we know what targets are.
Yeah, I will. I just have the wasp tokens for now, I will...
All right. My left, there is a wasp in armor and a wasp out of armor, right?
Right. So right, I'll pop them on the screen just so you can... two of those are knighted.
And it's only the bottom, the southeastern one that hasn't come to life.
Correct. Well, no, there's six in there and only three have come to life.
Oh.
Thus.
The light doesn't
go past the first
floor. Ah, okay. Yeah, it's a deep, deep room. It's crazy how 30 feet of light is useless. Okay, so I'm going to have Seeker. Seeker's just going to hang back for right now. Be careful, Ellison. Be careful. And now it's Saint's turn.
Okay. So Saint is going to move past Ellison into the room. He'll move into the room and then immediately, like, to the south of the doorway to keep line of sight for Ellison and for Seeker. And he's got his bow out, and he is going to shoot at the wasp that Warwick is facing off with.
Okay.
And let's see.
All right. So past the boob there, I think it's going to give you disadvantage there unless you want to get a little closer. Because you're kind of shooting past Warwick, even the one to its direct left. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. So
Sid, are you targeting the farthest north one?
No, the one directly next to you.
Okay. That hasn't been hit and is in the armor. Just so we're clear, the other one was hit and is out of the armor.
Shoot.
But I think it's the same attack disadvantage to both. I just wanted to clarify which one's it.
You could also run deeper into the room and attack the one that is out.
I think I will do that. I have enough movement. I'm going to move further into the room weaving through the wall of wasps and the
go ahead and move one more so you don't get disadvantage. Because that one next to work is still in armor, which would give it a little bit of... what I'm calling, you know, classic cover.
Cover, yeah.
I'm going to shoot the other one then.
Yes.
The one.
Now it's nice, clean shot.
All right.
Who says I don't know?
That's so nice of you. That's so nice.
Oh, it's poorly for us.
Oh!
Unnatural 20.
Unnatural. That 20 is unnatural.
There are many 20s that some consider to be.
And that is 3 points of damage.
3 points of damage. Okay. This little wasp. Ellison.
Ellison is going to magic missile the wasp in the suit of armor next to Pharaoh.
Okay. Around the doorway. You want to come in? Want to come in? Nope. One step? No.
Range far always hits.
Oh, yeah, it's magic. It's missile. Yeah, no. Come on. Unerring.
Unerring.
Unerring magic. What am I thinking?
Okay, with advantage, I get a 17.
Nice.
That hits.
Okay.
So does it...
Here's the thing. Save your damage. Yeah. That damage alone just shatters the armor, and now the wasp is out.
Nice. Try ring its bell, perhaps?
No.
What's that? I guess I did damage. Yeah. I was gonna say, same thing happened last time.
You've done damage to the armor and shattered it, so now there's just a giant wasp next to Pharaoh Warwick.
Oh, thank God.
And I'll stand where I am, like holding the torch into the room, but staying outside the threshold.
Okay.
Warwick will try to slice his sword at the wasp that attempted to sting him.
Okay.
And a quick reaction, and then he comes back with a thrust. And that is a 16.
That's a hit.
Nice.
Okay. Nice.
And he's going to do 6 points of damage.
Okay, one wasp down.
Good. Yeah.
Good, finally. That's why they call him the Orkin Man.
Do they?
Do now.
They do now.
Let's start it now.
All right.
So Pharaoh, it is not my turn. It's Pharaoh's turn.
Also, we just killed the bug.
Oh, the Orkin Man.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay. There's the title.
All right. So Pharaoh is just... It's just the buzzing monster disappeared for him. So he's going to take a 5-foot step back. And, oh, boy. And I'm going to, jeez, man, I'm gonna try to cast protection from evil on myself.
Okay.
I'm gonna try to do.
These evil bees.
And I do. I don't know if they're evil. Chaotic technically, but right, we'll see.
Okay. All right. So a little protection from Eve. All right. So now, they go, let's do the one that is still armored with disadvantage, against Warwick. Okay. This might be a hit. I can't remember your AC, but my lowest is a 17.
Hits exactly.
Wow.
Oh, 14. I don't want to tell you what I rolled.
Wow.
Just kind of did. All right, so you get hit by that. Again,
hit in a long time.
Just this herky jerky movement.
Because he was focusing on the other wasp. Stabs it, puts it down, and leaves himself open, and then bam!
3 points of damage.
Right in the shoulder.
Right in the shoulder.
Oh no. Can you imagine, Joe, what that would feel like?
Honestly, stop joking about it. I'm getting nauseous.
All right, 3 points of damage. Now there is one other wasp right between Saint 1, 2, 3 and Pharaoh 4, 5, 6. Pharaoh.
Oh.
Okay, so it slides up to you and it attempts to straight up sting you with its wet stinger.
Ow!
11.
That's a miss.
That's a miss.
Yes.
Oh, you're lucky. Okay. The Seeker still hanging back. He has nothing to contribute to this fight. He's here to heal if somebody gets hurt. Saint.
Saint's
good. Saint, are you okay?
He doesn't answer him. He's not.
I can't see you.
Saint is going to fire at the wasp that is not armored, the one that is fighting Pharaoh.
Okay.
That's going to be a 15.
15's a hit.
Okay.
Nice.
So that is going to be 3 points of damage again.
3 points of damage. Okay.
Right. And he also takes a peek behind him. I know I don't have a lot of light, but do I see anything else coming or do I hear anything?
Where you're standing, you might hear a little bit of buzzing back there, but maybe that's coming from in front of you. Maybe it's just the acoustics in this place.
He will yell out to Seeker and to Rex that there's more.
Okay.
Ellison will fire off a magic missile at the one menacing Pharaoh.
Okay. Yeah, you don't want your one of your two healers to go down.
No.
No.
Last bottle cast.
Even with advantage, you.
Oh, I don't. Wait, I already have advantage. Oh, and now I get it.
A cap has been spent.
Give me my cap back.
Give me my cap back.
I don't know why I'm forgetting that today. Okay, so that's right. A regular.
I love how caps just fly across this table.
3 points of damage on the wasp menacing Pharaoh.
Okay. It is still kicking. Taking a licking. Keeps on kicking. Warwick!
Warwick is, yes, again, more concerned about Pharaoh than himself.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this thing being in the armor, he's weirded out by it and doesn't necessarily want to free it right now. Mm-hmm. It seems to be bottled up a little bit, and it's attacking with disadvantage. So it's like, part of that's meta, but part of it is like, it looks all herky-jerky, like it's out of sorts. This one
Who would have guessed that a wasp can't manipulate a humanoid suit of armor? With...
So he's going to leave it. He's going to leave it and move to defend Pharaoh.
Okay.
Can I stand on the boob?
Can't stand on the boob.
Can't stand on
it's
the
5 foot boob.
Why would can't I stand on the boob?
You can slide past the boob, but you can't stand on the boob. That's disrespectful.
All right. Fine.
Have some respect for boobs.
Well, how about this? I'd like to move past the boob and to get on the opposite side of the wasp from Pharaoh. Can I get advantage on
flanking?
An
sure. Yeah.
By sneaking up behind it? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll come around behind and attack. That is a 15, which we know hits.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
See if you crit.
Please get it. And that is... apologies. I just... Close my sheep by accident. I want to remember my exact bonus. That's 9 points of damage.
Oh, that'll do.
9 points of damage takes that wasp.
Yes. There you go, Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Okay. It now goes to Pharaoh's turn. Pharaoh, you have been saved for the moment.
Okay. Pharaoh is just going to try to maintain concentration on his own protection from evil spell and does... And he's going to step up and... Oh, I can't do it. He's just going to reload his crossbow.
Okay. Reload the crossbow. Great. As a move action. Yeah. All right. So it's my turn. A couple things are going to happen. First thing, you're going to hear...
Oh, actually, wait. I'm going to reload and fire. Because I'm not moving. So I'm just going to reload. And that's both my actions.
Okay. So concentrating on the...
That's not...
Protection
that's
reload. That's not an action. Okay.
I believe.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. You've got that column there. Blocking you.
Yeah, okay. I'll just reload and wait.
Reload and chill. Okay. From behind Saint, you hear that clunk, 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 clunk of armor as another one of these suits comes at you. But again, with disadvantage, it will try to herky-jerkily swing a sword at you. And I'm assuming misses with an 11.
Miss.
Okay.
Sweet.
I believe focus is an action.
Oh, it is?
So focus. Some spells last for as long as you focus. You can't cast other focus spells while focusing. You can end a focus spell at any time. To maintain focus, make a spellcasting check at the start of your turn as if you were casting that spell, which suggests to me...
I don't know. That doesn't mean it's an action, though.
Mm.
Worth looking into between eps. But in the meantime, I have one more wasp who is going to come at either Saint or... Warwick, coming at old Saint.
Wow.
All right, so here's what's going to happen. It's going to roll up to Saint, and it's going to attempt to... Oh, wait, no, this is the one still in the armor, right? Yeah, the two of them are still
the herky-jerky.
Yeah, herky-jerky. So it's going to try to swing a sword at you, and that is a 13.
Miss.
Miss with the 13. All right, so these things are... I'll reveal that other wasp just so you can see, but they are both armored, and now it's your turn, Saint. You are... Oh, you know what? You're flanked. Fuck it, though. I'm not going to take advantage on that. Go ahead.
That was flanked, though. Saint, yeah, dodging these creaky armors. And he's just going to pull out his dagger and try to get in between the cricks and just stab it, like try to get to the wasp inside.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
The one to the south.
Okay.
Trying
to just get something in there to attack it. I like it.
I'm not as good with my dagger, though, but that's okay.
Okay.
Cap.
Was that a one?
That was a one.
Cap City.
One with a giant.
Oh, sorry. Oh. I threw that so hard.
Let's got it.
All right. Let's go again. Come on.
Oh, according to Kelsey, the concentration does not take an egg.
Oh, great.
Chapow pow.
Makes sense to me.
17.
17 hits.
Okay. So I get it in between the armor. Oh, I'm sorry. 16, because that was a melee, not
16's
a
range. Okay.
Okay. One.
One. Well, here's what's going to do. It's going to crack open the armor like you're popping open a walnut. Yeah. And so while you don't hit the creature, your attempt pops it open, and now you've got a wasp standing there in front of you. Will you guys be able to take it out? Allison.
You hit the one to the south or the one to the north of you?
One to the south.
Yeah, I'm going to leave the one that's in armor to the north in armor and take advantage of that disadvantage. And I'll magic missile the one to the south.
Okay. This magic missile.
Natural 20.
Kill it.
All right. You can double the damage unless you want to double the distance.
I don't need to double the distance.
We're having a good time.
I'll double. We double the die, right? It's double, dice is what we
double the die.
Double the die.
Double the die.
5 points of damage.
Oh, boy. Okay, five That's points of damage. Cool. Cool, cool for you. Not as fun for me. Okay, Warwick.
Grits his teeth. Charges up to the one next
Ellison
to Saint.
Ellison will take a step into the room just to give a little more light.
Okay.
Light a little bit.
Cool, cool.
He's going to push up toward the wasp right next to Saint. And as it's disoriented from getting hit with the magic missile blast, he will swing away at it. Man, rocks. Rock steady. I think that's a 19 to hit.
Okay, that's a hit.
No, it's even higher than that. I got to get my bonuses. The level up. I got so many bonuses that I'm like, keep forgetting. All right.
Poor you.
8 points of damage.
8 points of damage, and that wasp
Boom.
Is
yeah.
gone. Yeah. Warwick is just the closer today.
Yeah.
It's finishing them off.
Having wasps for dinner tonight.
Roast wasp.
You know what? You laugh. There might be a lot of protein in them. Yeah. All right, so it now goes to...
Unfortunately, they're filled with poison.
Not the legs.
Pharaoh.
Okay, Pharaoh is going to step forward with his loaded crossbow and fire at the armored wasp.
Okay.
Remaining that we see. It's the correct die. There we go. 17 to hit.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Ox Venture, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine, and now... I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.